And praise the Lord. Thank Jesus for his love for us. And what a wonderful song. Thank you, Brother Mitch. Thank you, praise team, for leading us in worship and song today. Turn with me, if you will, today, church, to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7 for a message entitled, But God is Merciful. We've been in a series on Sunday morning looking at But God verses. Some say that very thing, but God, or but the Lord, or but Jesus, but the Holy Spirit. We'll be looking at verses like that. And today we come to a passage that tells about his mercy and how appropriate that is and how much it does involve Jesus' love and the way God demonstrated that love through Christ. So I hope that this will be meaningful to you today to focus on God's mercy. Friend, we're in trouble if it were not for God's mercy. So I'm thankful for the opportunity to consider it this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 7, we're going to read verses 7 through 10 of God's holy, inerrant, infallible word. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you are more in number than any other people, for you are the least of all peoples, but because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the house of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for a thousand generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. And he repays those who hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for the great love that you have for us and for the mercy that you've bestowed upon those who love you and keep your commandments, those who follow your word, Lord, those who receive your mercy. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd let us be thankful for your mercy today if we're a child of yours. And Lord, for any of those listening today or listening in future time, Lord, that don't know Jesus truly as their Lord, I pray that they would receive his mercy today. Lord, I thank you that you're a merciful God, and we need your mercy today. We need your mercy on our land. We need your mercy in our churches, Lord. We need your mercy as people today. Help us not to take it for granted. Oh, Lord, we've been forgiven a debt that we owed and could never pay. Lord, help us stand amazed at your mercy today. I pray for your help with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to share with you today four things about God's mercy as we consider the fact that he is merciful. Number one, God shows mercy even to the least of these. God shows mercy even to the least of these. In verse 7, it says, the Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. You know, mercy is a wonderful word. Mercy is a concept of not giving you the judgment you do deserve. God decided not to hold our sins against us under certain conditions of his because he is merciful. I believe that it would be quite possible for God to be holy, 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 and yet not be merciful. But God has chosen to be and is merciful, and we need to be thankful to his holy name because of that. I like a quote I once found by Thomas Otway. Mercy is indeed the attribute of heaven. You see, we would not have thought of mercy. The way of the flesh is to get even. The way humans think is to not forgive. So mercy is divine. Mercy is supernatural. Mercy requires unconditional love that God has and told us what it was and demonstrated to us. It takes a but God moment. Truly, mercy is an attribute of heaven. The surprise, though, is that God is not merciful because of something within us. He did not set his love on Israel because they were great in number. He did not choose them because they were a better people. He did not choose them because they were pretty good people. Friend, even a cursory reading of the Old Testament shows that none of those things were true. They were a rebellious people. They had idols in their lives. They had sin in their lives. They were not world conquerors until God empowered them to be so. They were sinners, but God is merciful. And friend, that's good news for us, my friend. We do not merit mercy. We are not great. We are not inherently good. We are sinners deserving of hell, but God is merciful. And He's merciful to the least of these. Maybe you're listening today and you think that you're too bad a sinner for Jesus to save. I've truly talked to some people who say something like, "Preacher, if you just knew what all I'd done." But let me tell you, friend, God does know all that you have done. He knows how bad you are. He knows all the commandments that you've broken. He knows that you cannot change on your own. But even if you are the least of all people, my Bible says God has mercy for you. If you will turn to Him and ask Him for it and receive it on His terms, you can have your sins covered by the blood of Jesus if you will trust Him to save you. And you can sing some of these songs we sing to praise God for His mercy. Songs like, "Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary." Thank God for what Jesus did at the cross so that God could show His mercy to us. God's mercy, God shows mercy even to the least of these. A second thing I want you to see today is God shows mercy out of His great love. Verse 8 says, "But because the Lord loves you, and because He would keep the oath which He swore to your fathers." Here's our "but God" phrase. But because the Lord loves you. You might say, "Well, that's okay for Israel, but how do I know He loves me? How do I know that God has a merciful love like that that applies today?" Well, friend, because the merciful love of God is a resounding theme all throughout the Bible. Listen to just these few verses on a Mount Everest of similar verses. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Romans 5:8 is one of my favorites. "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Friend, God sent Jesus to die for you while you're still rebellious, while you're still a sinner. Not when you thought about your need for salvation, when we were still kicking and screaming, as it were, against Him. He is so merciful, He demonstrated His love towards us in sending Jesus at a time like that to pay for my sins and for yours. 1 John 4:9 says, "In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." He was the atoning sacrifice. He was the acceptable sacrifice to God the Father to pay for our sins. And that's love, friend. What Jesus did on the cross demonstrated God's love towards us. And I tell you, friend, a capstone verse that ought to be important to all Christians, Ephesians 2, verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved." I love an old song that's probably based on that verse, originally by the Martins, "Out of His Great Love." It says, "Out of His great love He picked me up, set my feet on a sturdy rock. Out of His great love I've learned the meaning of salvation. out of His great love. I had gone astray. I had lost my way. When I called upon His name, then He rescued me. And the song I sang, what a loving God is He. Now I shout His praise through all my days for His endless mercy and grace. There's no other one who has greater love where joy I'll ever say. Friend, I tell you, His great love led to His mercy for you and for me. So God shows mercy even to the least of these. God shows mercy out of His great love. And the third thing I want to share with you is God shows mercy with actions. We see in verse 8 in our "But God" verse, "But because the Lord loves you and because He would keep the oath which He swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." So friend, I'm saying to you, God did not just stay up in heaven and think nice thoughts about mercy towards us. No, He did something. He did something to demonstrate that mercy. He acted in mercy, and He's still doing some of the merciful acts that He did toward Israel long, long ago. He redeemed them from bondage. He brought them out with a mighty hand. He entered a covenant relationship with them. He delivered them from the hand of the enemy. And friend, God will do all of these things for you if you'll call upon Him for His mercy. He'll free you from bondage to sin. He will bring you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He'll take you out of the devil's camp and put you into His kingdom, the kingdom of God. And He'll be a father to the fatherless. He'll be a shepherd to the wayward sheep. He'll be a savior to the perishing sinner. Oh, friend, we need God's mercy. Don't we need God's mercy today? We need to cry out for our nation for God's mercy. We need to pray about all our troubles. We need to lift this plague situation up. We need the plague lifted from our community. And more than anything else, we need the mercy of God for our own sins. Let's make the message personal today, friend, because the Bible says judgment starts at the house of God. And friend, I'll tell you something else. Revival starts at the house of God. I want to ask you today, will you take some real time today and cry out to God for mercy for your own sins and the sins of our nation? I plan to do that. And I do want to ask you, friend, won't you take some time today, some minutes, and cry out to God for His mercy for your own sins and for the sins of our nation? Friend, if you don't interpret this virus plague as a call for us to draw near to God and get serious about our faith, something is wrong with you. And you surely have not read the Bible. Because it's things like this, friend, that God would often send or allow to come to turn His wayward people back to Him, to turn wayward nations back to Him. I don't think it's a mystery that this is a worldwide plague, friend, because our world is in trouble today, friend. Our world has walked away from the Lord God. And I want to ask you again, like I did last week, what's it going to take for God to get your attention? Friend, if you're listening today and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I'm telling you, you need His mercy more than anything else. You might be confused about what's going on. You might be worried about the paycheck not coming in, or the business being closed, or things being different for your family, or even the possibility of catching this virus, or maybe you do have it, or some of your friends or somebody in your family has it. I want to tell you, friend, we do need to cry out to God about those details. But more than anything, you need the mercy of God Almighty because of your sins in your heart. Friend, I tell you, I wouldn't be saved today if it weren't for God's mercy. I could never go to heaven if I had to account for my sins. But Jesus paid it all. And that's what we celebrate this time of year, friend. He went to the cross and paid for our sins. He walked out of that grave so that you could have everlasting life. And I want you to have everlasting life. It's a gift of God, not because of our works. It is mercy. It is what you owe, not being held accountable to you. No matter how great a sinner, no matter if you're bad as Israel of old, Jesus Christ will save you from your sins because God is merciful. And He demonstrates that mercy in actions. He'll save you. He'll deliver you today from the hand of the enemy. But you have to turn to Him for His mercy. So God shows mercy with actions. And the fourth thing I want to share with you today is God shows mercy only to those who receive it on His terms. He shows mercy only to those who receive it on His terms. Notice in verse 9 and 10, therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with who? With those who love Him and keep His commandments. And He repays those who hate Him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with them who hates Him. He will repay him to his face. I tell you, friend, there's coming a time called the Great White Throne Judgment when God is going to repay those who didn't accept His mercy to their face and condemn them forever into the lake of fire. But I tell you, friend, really, it's going to be effective the moment of our death. The moment of our death. What if you were to die today? What if you were to die of the plague? What if you were to die of an accident? What if you were to die of a heart attack? What if you were to die of something unknown, some accident out on the road or in your yard or in your home? Let me ask you, friend, where would you go? Well, I tell you, according to the Word, if you've received His mercy, if you love Him as He has first loved you, then He will grant you eternal life. But if you don't receive His mercy on His terms like that, friend, then He will repay you. He will repay you. And He will repay you to your face. And He'll destroy you. And it'll be everlasting destruction, the Bible says. So that Jesus Himself, friend, in one verse, said, these go away into everlasting life, and these into everlasting punishment. Many times, He only presents us with two groups, friend. There's the sheep and the goats. There's those that walk the narrow way and those that walk the broad way. There's those who walk the way of life and those who walk the way that leads to destruction. I want to ask you today, friend, where are you at? Which road are you on? I want you to receive God's great mercy because He'll demonstrate it in actions, but only to those who receive it on His terms. Obviously, we can refuse God's mercy. And I believe we can also take God's mercy for granted. We're told in these verses, mercy is for 1,000 generations to those who love Him and keep His commandments. But justice goes to those who hate Him, and He will destroy them. Even mercy has to be received on God's terms. And we know the New Testament terms, don't we? We have to repent of our sins to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead after He paid for our sins on the cross, and to confess that He is our Lord. Yes, not even to just believe in the facts of Him being crucified on the cross for our sins and being raised from the dead. Even the demons believe that and tremble, the Bible says. The ingredient they lack is following Jesus as Lord. And I want to tell you, friend, because I want to be clear and I want to be plain. There are a lot of people today that think they're saved. And the reason that they're not saved is they're not following Jesus as Lord. I want you to really be saved. I want you to be an object of God's mercy. But I want to tell you, friend, you have to receive it on His terms. The Gospel of John chapter 1 about verse 12 says, many as received Him, Jesus, to them He gave the right to be called children of God, to those who believe on His name. Friend, have you ever believed on Jesus' name? And I don't mean just in the facts of it. I don't just mean have you been baptized. I don't just mean have you prayed a prayer. That can be a way to call upon the name of the Lord. Yes, we have to confess with our mouth. But, friend, we have to believe in our heart. And we have to call upon Him as Lord. Have you ever really made a decision to follow Jesus as Lord and boss of your life? That's what I want you to do, friend. I want you to have God's mercy, but you have to receive it on His terms. If we love Him, we will respond to His merciful love that He's demonstrated towards us. And then we don't need to take that mercy for granted. See, that's the problem I think that I have from time to time. That, I think, is a problem that we're having in the United States today. That's the problem we're having in a lot of our churches, is we've taken God's mercy for granted. We've forgotten, friend, the debt that Jesus paid for us. We've forgotten that we could have never paid it, that we'd be going to hell, all of us, were it not for Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. And we don't need to take that grace for granted. Pastor Tony Evans told of a personal situation that taught him the rock-solid difference between mercy and justice. He said, "One time I was in such a hurry going somewhere to serve the Lord that I got pulled over by a police officer for speeding." He said, "Now, Pastor Evans, you know you are not supposed to be going this fast." I said, "I'm sorry. I'm wrong. I deserve a ticket." But mercy kicked in. The officer said he wouldn't give me what I deserved, but he cautioned me to be careful with my speed. Now, I figured that since I just left a policeman, I didn't have anything to worry about regarding another one for a while. So I hopped on my accelerator again, trying to hurry up and get to my destination. Now, I had just experienced mercy. I had just been relieved from justice, but it doesn't take long to forget mercy. I went back to almost the same speed. 1.5 miles later, another policeman pulls me over for speeding yet again. I got ready to plead again, like I did the last time. He comes to tell me I'm speeding, and I start to appeal to him for mercy. It looked like I was going to get mercy twice in the span of 1.5 miles until the first policeman came by. God has a way of making justice catch up with us when we don't appreciate mercy, or when we take mercy for granted. And friend, I think a little justice is catching up with us today in our land because we've taken God's mercy for granted. We cannot presume upon mercy. We cannot presume upon grace. Mercy is divine. Mercy is supernatural. Mercy requires unconditional love. It takes a "but God" moment, friend. And truly, mercy is an attribute of heaven. God shows mercy even to the least of these. God shows mercy out of his great love. God shows mercy with actions. And God shows mercy only to those who receive it on his terms. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for your mercy. Lord, we need your mercy today. We plead it for our land. We lament these deaths, Lord, that are happening because of the coronavirus. But at the same time, Lord, there's innocent life being taken in the womb. There are sins on our hands, Lord. There's blood on our hands. And if you gave us justice, there would be no more United States. If you gave us justice, there would be no more land of the free. So we cry out to you for the only thing we can do, Lord, is to cry out for your mercy. Lord, I do pray that it would be a time of revival. I pray that your people who are called by your name would humble themselves and seek your face and pray and repent of our wicked ways so that you'd hear from heaven and heal our land. Lord, people without salvation, they need your mercy today. And I pray that anyone listening, Lord, even one, 5, 3, 2, a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, a teenager, Lord, a young adult, a senior adult, anybody who hadn't really followed Jesus as Lord to receive mercy on your terms, Lord, I pray that they call out to you now, just along the lines of what Romans 10:9-10 says, saying, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I understand Jesus paid for my sins when he went to the cross. I believe in my heart God raised him from the dead. I'm confessing with my mouth I'm ready to follow Jesus as my Lord." Lord, I know if they mean that with their mouth and the heart, you'll save them. That very passage says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Lord, thank you for being a merciful God. I stand amazed, and did this week, even as I pondered that thought, that you could be just as holy as you ever were, and not have to extend mercy to us. If you gave us justice, every one of us would spend eternity in hell. But because of your great love, you sent Jesus to pay for our sins, to redeem us from bondage, to deliver us from the hand of the enemy who wants to kill and steal and destroy. And he's doing it effectively today. But because of your great love, you stepped in to give us mercy. Lord, I pray that if somebody prayed that prayer to receive Jesus as Lord, truly meaning it from their heart, that they'd let me know this week, that they call me, Lord, at the church office, and let it be known that they made that decision to follow Jesus as Lord. I know you'd want them to follow you in believers' baptism on the right side of their salvation. I know that you'd want them to read your word. You'd want them to learn about prayer, and I'd want to help them with that, Lord. Lord, keep blessing our church. Help us be the church, even in this unusual time. Bless our technology, Lord, so we can at least get together on these terms and worship your holy name. Help us not to take your mercy for granted. If it were not for your mercy, demonstrated at Calvary, we would all be condemned. We praise your holy name for what you've done for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to share a few quick announcements with you today. And then Brother Mitch and praise team will come lead us in a concluding song. I want to remind you about next Sunday being Easter. What a wonderful time of the year to pray. And we can certainly pray all the more for this unusual time. Please, you already know about our new Facebook Live sermons each week. 11 a.m., 5 p.m. on Sunday, our 6:30 Bible study and prayer time right here on Facebook Live on our page. Also, you can spread the word, even to those not on Facebook. You can go to our website at hbccenotopia.com, and you can click on a link and listen to the three sermons from the previous week. The same thing you've seen live, you can just click on the link. So if you have the internet, but you're not on Facebook, you can still listen to the sermons as of Monday that way. And it's already like that this past week. You can also listen to the audio sermons. They've been out there for years. And you can still click on that link to the sermons and listen to the audio sermons that way. Tithing and giving can be brought by the office Monday, Wednesday, and Thursdays during Linda the Secretary's times to be here. But it can also be mailed, and some of you are doing that, to P.O. Box 425, Senatobia, Mississippi, 38668, Highland Baptist Church. You could set up Highland Baptist Church in your banking app as a biller and put that address, P.O. Box 425, Senatobia. We don't get mail at our street address, but the postman is often kind enough to put it in our P.O. Box anyway if you've sent it that way. But please don't fail to give and pray for our church and our giving and our provision. We're praying for the families as well, that you would have provision. We know truly some of our people of our work, some of our business owners have had to shut their doors at least for part of the time, some for all of the time until this is over. We already know we won't get to worship in person through the month of April for sure. But friend, let's keep being the church. Keep calling and checking on one another. Keep seeing if there are needs among our people. And I know you're doing that because as I call, they tell me that others have called. But we need to love on one another. We're still the church outside of the walls. You can still donate money to the Casey Band Fund. Make it out to Highland Baptist Church. Put for Casey Band Fund. And that'll help with that through August of 2020. Our annual yard sale for missions certainly has been postponed. It won't be April 25th. We'll have to have it later in the spring or summer. And we'll communicate that to you when we see how things are going with the virus. Again, please join us tonight at 5 p.m. for our 5 p.m. service right here on Facebook Live. And then 6:30 this coming Wednesday. There will not be a brotherhood breakfast, of course. Use your quarantine time to pray more, to read your Bible, to check on others by calling. Friend, if we don't grow closer to Jesus during this time, something is wrong with us. Let's respond biblically. Let's respond to the love and mercy that God is reaching out to us, even through this tough situation. Friend, we need a but God moment. Let's ask Him for it. Let's ask Him for it. Amen. Brother Mitch, come lead us, friend.